Well, if you've been around with us for the last year or more, you realize we are in a series looking at the greatest sermon of all time, given by the greatest communicator of all time, called the Sermon on the Mount. And actually, this morning, I'm not going to pick up where we left off last week. I'm going to do something odd, but I'm going to go back and look at the passage that we actually looked at over a year ago, and not trying to repeat it, but I want to revisit a passage that I feel impressed to look at this morning, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, going all the way back to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says these words. And Todd, I'm getting just a hair of a hum up here, just a touch. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can it be made salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. He goes on to say that you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Jesus is such an amazing communicator, the greatest communicator of all time. And he uses two very rich metaphors to help us understand how we're supposed to live our lives. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? Well, it brings a change to everything that it touches, doesn't it? Everything that salt touches, it influences, it impacts. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what I see you like. That's what I see you like. You are a change agent. Whether you realize it or not, you as a follower of Christ are a change agent no matter where you're at. If you're at school, if you're at your workplace, you are a change agent for the kingdom. He goes on to say this. He says, you, in fact, are the light of the world. He switches metaphors. He says, you are like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. It cannot be hid. You can't put a damper on it. You can't turn that light off. It's like a city on a hilltop. And what he's saying there is that he's saying, I want to put you on display for everyone to see very clearly what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. You, I'm putting you on display. That's my intention. That's our job in a sense. So that when people would look at us, when they would rub shoulders with us, whether we're at work or whether we're at our school or wherever we go, that when people look at us and interact with us, they would see how we respond to situations. They would see by our conversations, by our actions, what it looks like to be a true follower. And the end result would be that they get pointed to Jesus as a result of our lives. We're to let the transforming work that Jesus has done inside of us to shine out. The hope that we have, the joy that we have, is to be like a light in the darkness to everyone around us. It's something that we're not supposed to cover up. It's not something that to be shy about. It's interesting that Jesus uses both salt and light. He doesn't just use one or the other, but he uses them both. Salt has sort of a unique characteristic about it, that it only works if it comes in contact with its surroundings, right? Salt that's inside its container isn't able to do anything. It has no impact. Salt has to get outside of its salt shaker in order for it to do any good. It's a unique characteristic. Sometimes, in some cases, salt doesn't work immediately. Like if you think about throwing salt on ice, what does it do? It takes a little bit of time for you to be able to see the effect of what salt is doing. The effect sometimes of salt is slower in its influence at times. A light, on the other hand, the impact of light is, it's instantaneous, isn't it? On its surroundings. A light is immediately noticed. You know, some of you know that I enjoy getting outside and enjoying God's great creation. And one of the things that I love to do is hike. I love to backpack and get outside, any opportunity that I have. And a little while ago during the fall, I had the opportunity to get away for just one night all by myself. And I was up on a high ridge right next to Mount Baker. It was such a beautiful day. I only saw maybe three or four people the whole day. And it was such a great just time away all by myself, thinking about how awesome God is. And watched the sunset on Mount Baker. And I saw the stars starting to come out and just kind of relaxing, hanging out. And I noticed all of a sudden, clear across on another ridge, way over, I saw a little light that was kind of winking in and out. And it was like somebody's headlamp who was still hiking on a trail way over on the other ridge. And it's interesting to think about how noticeable one small, tiny headlamp way off in the distance was so very, very noticeable. Just a small amount of light in the darkness is very, very noticeable. You know, you may not feel like you're making much of a difference in your impact in those around you. But if you've been transformed by Jesus, Jesus said that you are going to have an impact on those around you, even if you can't see that impact. The reality is that you may never know what kind of impact you've had on those around you. So don't be discouraged if you can't tell what's going on in terms of the people that you're praying for, the people that you are doing life with, people that are in your workplace or the carpool that don't know Jesus yet. Don't be discouraged if you can't see any movement forward, because sometimes that salt takes time for it to have its effect. Sometimes the effect of salt working is it's not noticeable right away. So don't be discouraged. Keep praying for those people in your life who are still far from Jesus. Don't give up on them. Keep allowing the transforming work that God has done inside you to shine out. You know, the imagery that Jesus uses here is that you're not alone in this. It's not just the picture of one small light in the midst of the darkness, is it? No, it's a picture of your light and your light and your light and my light all together. It's like a city on a hilltop that he says you just can't hide from. It cannot be shut down. And the end result of living that kind of life is that people will praise our Heavenly Father. That people will come to the place where they say, wow, God. You know, I think of some people in my life over the years that have had a way of impacting me, but not necessarily in a good way. The interaction that we have or the relationship that we have seems to be sometimes just a one-way thing. And after you spend time with them, I don't know if you've ever had a situation like this, but you feel like maybe they just dumped on you. They feel like, you feel like maybe they just take more than they give. And you feel like the life just gets kind of sucked out of you after spending time with you. Their attitude is so negative in all of that. And then there are other people that I've had opportunity to know throughout life who, when you spend time with them, it's like, it's so refreshing. It's so encouraging. Conversations that you have are, you walk away and you just think, wow, that was good. And it's salt, it's the same kind of thing that salt does. Salt, sometimes when it gets out of the salt shaker, what does it do? It makes our food taste better. It makes things better. And that's exactly what our conversations should do in the lives of others. It should bring encouragement, it should build them up, and it should leave people with like, that was good, that was helpful. Now, something that's a bit surprising to me about this passage that Jesus is letting us know, this giving us this salt and light metaphor, he says something surprising that I've tended, I think, to miss in the past. And in verse 16, he says, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see." It's interesting to me that it's through our good deeds that Jesus kind of pinpoints and references and says that that's how our light is going to shine out for everyone to see. That it's through our actions of love. It's through doing good things for those around us that everyone will stop and say, wow, there is a God. And when I think of doing good, I think of a story that Jesus told one time about a guy who was a Samaritan who was traveling down a road one day, and he came upon a Jewish person who had been robbed, who had been beaten, and left on the side of the road. And the Bible says that the guy was like half dead. And I don't know about you, but anybody seen Princess Bride? And when Miracle Max was making that comment about mostly dead, that's, I don't know, that's just me. It's kind of crazy, but that kind of comes to my mind. The Bible says he was half dead. I get the picture like he was in bad shape and that he was probably unconscious and he was just like, there he is. And the story that Jesus told was that there were two people that went by who were Jewish as well. This injured guy was Jewish. So some of their own clan goes by this guy and just didn't stop. They went to the other side of the road, noticed the guy, went by, two different guys. And then comes along a Samaritan, Jesus says. A Samaritan who is a despised person by the Jewish people. He comes by, he stops, gets off his donkey, he grabs his first aid kit. It's there, read it. He grabs his first aid kit and he's like, you know, he's going to try to attempt to save the guy's life, basically, to see if he can save this guy's life. That's how bad the guy's off. There's a couple things that really stand out to me about this story that Jesus told. You know, it's a parable. It's kind of a made-up story. And it's a story we know as what? The Good Samaritan. He's trying to make a point. He's trying to illustrate something. But the things that drop, you know, that jump off the page at me regarding sort of the subject that we're looking at and doing good, first of all, the thing that really is maybe helpful to understand some of the background, so the division that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans was a deep division. It was longstanding. And there was significant animosity between these two groups. Some of it had to do with ethnicity, with race, intermarriage issues brought division between these two groups of people, the Jews and the Samaritans. Some of this animosity that existed between these two groups of people was religious. This group thought this should be happening and this is where this is supposed to happen, and we're supposed to worship here, and the other group thought, no, that's not right. This is where it's supposed, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. And it created significant division between these two groups. They did not like each other. You could kind of say they were enemies. They hated each other's guts. That's the picture. Some of the animosity had to do with political views. Difference of political opinions created tension and division. And Jesus is like using this as an example. He's throwing this out, using the difference between these two groups of people, that people exactly knew what was going on. And he tells the story in such a way that the Samaritan, who was despised by the Jews, was the guy that was the hero of the story. He's the guy that stops. And he stops, the Samaritan stopped despite the fact that he knew the Jews despised him. It's interesting also that he allowed for an interruption in his day. That's always something that stood out to me. He was willing to throw his plans out the door for someone who despised him. Someone that he didn't agree with. Someone that looked at life completely different than him. I don't know about you, but there have been many times when I've had a situation confront me where I said, not now. I don't have time for this. I'm busy. Dead man, mostly dead man. I'm too busy. And yet, I think one of the things that kind of comes to the surface for me is that in God's kingdom, people are more important than my to-do lists. People are more important than things. When it comes to people, God loves people. He loves everyone. He loves those who I disagree with. And in fact, if we think of Jesus' words, Jesus encourages us to do what with people who are our enemies? To also show love to them. The other thing that stands out to me is the fact that even though this guy was an enemy, this guy was despised by both sides, both parties despised each other, right? Jesus uses this story, and one of the things that leaps out at me is that the Samaritan did good for somebody that he despised, and it cost him. It cost him, didn't it? He threw his plans out, maybe his whole week kind of thing, but it cost him financial cost, and it cost time. And yet he was willing to do it. The temptation in my mind might have been like, why would I waste my time and money on someone like him? I don't like him. He doesn't like me. Why would I do that? That kind of idea. And when Jesus finished telling the story, he asked this question. He said, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Someone in the crowd replied, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, yes, now go and do likewise. Now go and show that same kind of compassion of doing good to those around you. You know, it's interesting that Paul, in many of his letters that he writes, as he's writing to all these different churches, he uses this language of doing good. Just notice that sometime as you read through some of them. He brings out this language of doing good many times, as he did in the Galatians. As he wrote to the Galatians, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. John Wesley says it this way. He says, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. So this week, as we have opportunity, let's do good. Let's let our light shine out. As you have opportunity, help someone, encourage someone, thank someone, do an errand for someone, show kindness, be patient, and give lots and lots of smiles. It's a way to let our light shine. And let's look for ways to serve our neighbors. Let's look for ways to serve our community like we've never done before, because that is a way we let our light shine in a dark world. You know, there's a story in John chapter 4 that I love. It's a story where Jesus had a conversation with a woman at a well. And her curiosity led to this conversation that they ended up talking about living water. And Jesus, later on, when he was talking to his disciples, he says something very, very interesting. He said, you know what, you guys? This conversation that I have with this woman, it was like food that you don't know anything about. It fills me up. It energizes me. And as a result of that conversation, we read that many people believed. Many people in that village got to the place where they said, wow, God, there's a God. They were introduced into the kingdom. You know, I heard someone recently tell a story about a friend that they were talking, and he was kind of beginning to lead the conversation towards a spiritual direction. And as he did this, his friend just kind of shut him down. He says, you know what, I'm not interested. I'm not, you know, he just said, and what the guy said was very interesting to me. What he said was, you know, no problem, but promise me that when you're ready to talk about faith and you're ready to talk about Jesus, that you'll call me. And that's how he left that conversation. And when I heard that story, I thought, wow, that's a great idea. I think that is something I want to try in the relationships that I have, in conversations where you can tell there's resistance or whatever. You don't want to like twist their arm. You don't want to push, right? What a great idea, I thought. And the cool thing about this story is that years later, you know what happened? This guy called the friend and said, I'm ready to talk about Jesus now. He was going through super tough times in his life. And I thought, what a great story. I love that story. It's so helpful. And I think it's something I'm going to try to, you know, remember for my relationships and conversations. Another thing that I thought of that might be helpful, if you don't already do this, some of you probably already do, but in your conversations, and someone is just kind of sharing about life and how hard it is, something's going on in their life that's difficult and challenging, and you're just standing in the parking lot, you know, of the Goose or wherever you're at, you know what a great idea to be salt and light is in that circumstance, is just say, hey, can I pray for you? Right in the parking lot of the Goose. Can I just pray for you right now? What a great way, if you don't ever have thought about that idea before, just to be salt and light at the Goose. You know, there's a picture that we read about in the book of Acts as the New Testament church was being birthed. And they were encountering significant pushback from the authorities. Significant things were happening. In Acts chapter 4, we read that Peter and John were arrested. They were thrown in jail. And when they were released, they were ordered to never speak about the name of Jesus again. And I want us to kind of listen in to what they did as they got back with their church, little church family. Maybe they were meeting in a house, and they began to pray. And let's listen into their prayer. It's verse 29 of Acts 4. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It's very interesting to me of what they didn't pray for. What I think I would have prayed for had I been in their shoes. Like praying for protection or praying for my circumstances to be changed or praying for this whole environment that's taking place. God, would you intervene in this whole thing that's happening and all this pushback that we're getting? No, they didn't pray for that at all. They prayed for more boldness. They prayed for more courage. They prayed that their light would shine brighter than ever before. You know, several weeks ago when Matt asked me to teach while he was gone this weekend, I immediately was like, okay, God, what is it that you have for us as a church? What do you want to say today? And I would jot down some thoughts but I couldn't get away from this idea of salt and light. And I kept coming back to it, and I just felt like God was saying, no, talk about salt and light. And I'm like, but we already talked about that like over a year ago. But I just couldn't get away from it. And the idea was this, that, you know what, it's an important reminder for such a time as this, that it is so important to be reminded how important living our life as salt and light is right now for 2024. And the thought that came to me was, it's so important because we've got a countdown clock that's running. And that countdown clock is counting down to zero. And when it hits zero, that's when the rapture is going to happen. It's counting down to zero, to the rapture. And when that happens, our opportunity to be salt and light in this world, it's done. It ends. We have a window of time to live this out right now. That opportunity is not forever. It is so, so important, more so than ever, that we shine, that we live salty. Now more than ever is the time to shine. Now more than ever is the time to pray those bold prayers for courage. Now more than ever is the time for us to say, Holy Spirit, fill us like never before, for this hour, for this day. Now is the time for us to pray these prayers like they did in the book of Acts. Stretch out your hand, God, to heal and perform miracles. God, use us and shine through us that others would come to the place where they say, wow, God, you are real. That others would be turned to Jesus. And before we wrap up with prayer, there's just one thing that I want to encourage you to do, if you don't already do so, and that is this. I'd encourage you, start every day just in the posture of saying to God, God, use me today. Use me to be salt and light today. Would you speak to me? Would you fill me today, God? I position myself for this day for you to use me. If you don't already, and I'd encourage you, just start that little habit of every single day, God, flow through me, use me today. Amen? So, Father, and maybe just in your own way, just right now in your heart, just say, that's exactly what I want. I want to be salt in my relationships that I have with people. I want to be a light more than ever before. And just in your own way, just say, God, I want that. I want to have new boldness and new courage. And maybe you can even just take a second and whisper those names of friends in your life, coworkers in your life that you so much want to see come to faith. You want them to experience that transformation. You want them to begin to experience that forgiveness that Jesus brings to them. And you might want to just whisper those names to God right now. God, we pray. Pray for those opportunities like you had with that woman at the well. Conversations that are about significant things, that are about eternal conversation kind of things. And we do pray for boldness. We do pray for courage, God. We do pray, God, that you would fill us, God, with your Holy Spirit, the power of your Spirit for today, for such a time as this. And God, we wrap up with kind of just the final thought for today. God, we do pray for our nation. God, we don't place our hope in man. We don't place our hope in politics. We put our trust, we put our faith, our confidence is in you and you alone, Jesus. And God, we pray for your will to be done. We pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name this week. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, as we do very regularly around here, there's some folks that are going to be up here, I think. Bobby, maybe Bobby can come on up this morning. And there's some people here. If you have, you know, something going on in your life, you know what? We believe that God heals. We believe that God does the supernatural. And in the big things that you're facing, the small things, if you would enjoy or appreciate prayer, please don't leave without coming up afterwards, having someone join you with you in prayer. Thanks for coming, everybody. See you next week.